Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI, John Tomasi, WEEI.com is with us again here today. We've already spoken to Alex Cora. That was at about 2:30 today, but we'll bring that back for final drive. About 5:40, 5:45, somewhere in there. He'll talk about a number of different things, including why he continues to play Jackie Bradley Jr. pretty much every night, and doesn't sound like that's going to change anytime soon.
No, it doesn't.
I also like his spaghetti metaphor for the trade deadline.
It's coming up.
That was good, yeah. Looking forward to that.
He's got a good spaghetti metaphor.
He really does.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
So we'll start here with some Celtics stuff, and evidently Kyle Draper, who used to be on the show, I don't know if you remember.
Drapes? Yeah.
It was a while ago, and then...
But then he went on vacation.
Then he just apparently doesn't come back.
Yeah.
But he was on last night on his show. He was talking to Chris Mannix.
Hmm.
They were talking about the whole idea of a Kawhi Leonard trade possibility.
Why would you, you know, cut off half the league if you're trying to move your superstar? To me, if Kawhi does get moved, Chris, I feel like the Celtics are the team that can offer the best set of assets. And to me, it feels like if Danny Ainge wants to go all in on Kawhi Leonard, he'll be a Celtic. The question is, how far will Danny Ainge go to get this deal done?
Well, look, yeah, and Draper, look, the other part of it is, too, you're not dealing with, like, the Sacramento Kings here. You're dealing with the San Antonio Spurs, which are fronted by some of the smartest people in basketball. R.C. Buford ranks right up there with Danny Ainge and only a handful of others as one of the best deal makers in the league. If you're going to get Kawhi Leonard, you're not going to get him for 60, 70 cents on the dollar. What the Spurs are going to do, and what makes me believe this is going to be a drawn-out process, is that they're going to play teams off each other. They're going to use the Lakers. They're going to use maybe even the Kings. And they're going to use the Celtics to try to find the best offer. So if Boston wants him, they're going to have to dig pretty deep into their well of assets to get him.
So I definitely agree that if the Celtics want him, they could offer more than Cleveland or either LA team or Memphis. They could. They shouldn't have to, though. The one thing I would disagree with Mannix on is I think the Spurs maybe could go in a direction where they don't take the best offer possible. I think it was Adrian Wojnarowski said the other night that if Kawhi Leonard and Popovich, if that doesn't go really well, like say the meeting is really bad, do you think Popovich is then going to turn and send him exactly where he wants to go? Be like they're butting heads, like they can't believe this isn't working, but you want to go to the Lakers? Fine, you're going to the Lakers. Or would he say, all right, you're going somewhere else.
You're going to the Grizzlies. Have fun.
Right, exactly. Like I could, and maybe the Celtics get involved there. Not that it's a bad location, it's just not the location that he wants. And so if ultimately it comes down to 75 cents on the dollar, but it includes somebody like Jaylen Brown, who maybe Popovich really likes, well, then maybe they would do that deal.
You also have to factor in leverage. You know, the Spurs don't have a ton. Like, wants out.
They have to get rid of him.
He wants out, and whoever gets him is possibly acquiring a rental. That does not put you in a position to maximize what he's worth.
But you also don't have to trade him now. You can trade him at the trade deadline.
Yeah, you can wait.
When, theoretically, some team's even more desperate because, oh, that's the guy who wins us a ring.
Yeah, so we'll find out how much they like this draft. Right, because tomorrow night, if he gets dealt and they end up in the top 10 with a draft pick, then obviously they really like somebody here. If not, maybe this thing moves on.
So the big story last night was apparently Greg Popovich went to San Diego to meet with Kawhi Leonard. Supposedly Kawhi's been ducking him. Pop wanted to do this a while ago, and Kawhi didn't want to talk.
That's good. That seems like a good relationship there.
That's a good sign. That's a good sign, isn't it?
And reportedly, what Popovich found out is that Kawhi doesn't want to go back to San Antonio.
No.
He wants to go to Los Angeles. Not the Clippers, thank you very much. He wants to go to L.A. and play for the Lakers, apparently. Now, there's a question about whether or not Popovich and the Spurs will trade him to anybody in the West, let alone the Lakers, just because he wants it.
Right.
Doesn't mean they have to do it. Don't worry, Stephen A. Smith has got some opinions about Kawhi wanting to be in L.A.
Kawhi Leonard, if you're listening, here's the deal. Do me a favor. Stop. Just stop it. You want to go to Los Angeles. That's it. I am so sick and tired of folks walking around. I mean, just no heart. No heart. What are you scared about? What are you scared about? Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to be in San Antonio anymore. The Riverwalk is not enough for him. He prefers Rodeo and Melrose and Wilshire and Venice Beach. That's what he prefers. LA Live, downtown, Staples Center. That's what he prefers. He doesn't care that there's no state income taxes in Texas. He wants out because he wants to be in L.A. You don't have to sit up there and come up with excuses. Oh, they were upset at me because I went and got a second opinion. They pay you $20 million and you played 9 games. You should be upset at you. So why couldn't they be? Stop it.
So is he going to have the same reaction when LeBron goes to L.A.?
Oh, of course.
He should. He should, right? If you're being consistent, he wants to go to L.A.
With Kawhi.
They're both going to be in L.A., but he's going to be mad about Kawhi for it, but LeBron...
LeBron can opt out, so he's not forcing a move there. He can opt out and be free.
Okay, but he signed that contract
knowing that he could leave Stephen A. Smith. I have no idea why.
No, I know, but LeBron obviously did that. He could have stayed long-term in Cleveland if he wanted to, but he wanted out. So it's the same thing. I mean, he wants to... get out of there, and he's going to. It's actually worse because the Spurs will get something for Leonard. The Cavs aren't going to get anything for LeBron. He's just going to walk away.
LeBron's going to go to L.A., and it's going to be a disaster.
I'm amazed. I hope so.
Guy's almost 34, and he's willing to start over with a terrible
start
team.
Over.
You should be picking an already established team.
If he starts in L.A. with LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, and Chris Paul, that's a pretty good team.
They're pretty good. Or Paul George, even, instead of Chris Paul. Like, they'd be pretty good.
Or you also got... 234-year-old guys, you know.
LeBron is not a normal 34-year-old.
That is true.
Yeah.
Chris Paul is.
But if it's Leonard and George with LeBron, maybe they bring back Julius Randle just for like a big guy, and they'd have to get rid of Lonzo Ball because I don't think they want to put up with him.
Which would be awesome.
Just get a regular point guard.
I mentioned I was on this talk show out in San Diego today, and one of the things they talked about was the whole Kawhi Leonard here and all that.
Yeah.
And they said... the Lakers are desperately trying to pull the plug on Lonzo Ball.
And the Spurs don't want him.
No.
So he's not going to be a part of that Kawhi Leonard deal.
On Speak for Yourself over our shoulders here, while we were talking, they're showing new Instagram photos of Lonzo, all swole.
But he's clearly flexing.
He's put muscles on and all that stuff.
He's flexing.
Who cares?
He's like leaning in. He's like flexing. It's not great.
His father's still going to be around, right?
That's true. It's like, just because you're stronger, does that mean you're going to shoot above 30% from three?
Probably not.
Maybe it goes the other way.
Yeah.
You ever gone from the weight room to the basketball court?
I was just going to say that. Like, every beefed up kid in high school
couldn't shoot anymore. Yeah.
The other big thing around here is the Patriots are providing so much fodder for some of the national talk shows. Tom Brady, for instance. Skip Bayless. Pretty sure he knows what Tom Brady did here.
It was reported, now we don't know the truth level of this, that Tom threatened to retire if they traded Gronk. Now,
and that got laughed at, scoffed at, dismissed. Now I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe Tom at least threatened to retire, and he would threaten to only one person, to Daddy,
to the
owner, right?
Daddy? We're calling him Daddy now?
That's what he calls
one.
Robert
called him Daddy
Kraft.
And one called him Mr. Kraft.
Didn't I say that the day of that tweet, that within a week or two, someone's going to be stating this as fact, and here we are?
They did.
Didn't take them long to get there. Well, Skip and Shannon continued because they know that Tom is trolling you guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 45. He's saying all the things he wants to say verbally. But he's doing it through social media.
Yep.
So he's talking.
And he's doing it in a ha-ha way.
Yeah,
like
subtle, you know.
Tongue-in-cheeky sort of.
It's like someone bumps into, excuse me, and then they do it again. Excuse me. Hold on, wait a minute.
It's not anything like that.
Not even a tiny bit like
that. It's like when someone bumps into you and says, excuse me, and then they bump into you again.
And they say, excuse me.
What is that? What is he referring to?
Everything that was just uttered in the last like minute and a half on that was meaningless.
To say Alex Cora had a great analogy or metaphor or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Shannon Sharp, less so.
That one was
terrible. That doesn't make any sense at all.
He should stick to calling for the National Guard.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was a nice little bit that he had on the sideline there.
It's like someone bumps into it, excuse me, and then they do it again. Excuse me. Hold on, wait a minute.
Huh?
That's not what this is like. That's not what this is like at all.
I think he's like, Shannon, you know, the guy who knocks you with his arm just to be a jerk.
Then does it again.
But if you're Shannon, just to make sure you knew him at the first one.
So do they think he's playing until he's 45 or not?
It's like someone bumps into it. Excuse me.
No.
And then they do it again.
Doesn't matter how many times.
Who does that to Shannon Sharp? Nobody.
Nobody does.
I don't know. As I said, we talked to Alex Cora in the first hour of today's show. We'll bring it back on our final drive. We did ask him about Chris Sale, who, I mean, come on, you got to be a little frustrated. John, you pointed out the statistic. The Red Sox and Chris Sale starts this year are 8-8. In Eduardo Rodriguez starts this year, the 13-1.
That makes sense.
I mean, if you're Chris Sale, how could you not
crazy
get just a tiny bit frustrated? And he talked about some of that last night.
I don't, you know, it's part of it. You know, this is, I mean, I think you can look at Jacob deGrom and probably feel even worse for him. So, you know, it happens. You know, this isn't rocket science. It's not something that, you know, there's a formula for it. Some days you show up and score a lot. Some days you show up and score not a lot. Some days you pitch well. Some days you don't pitch well. And, you know, running the bases defense, there's so many aspects of this game that, you know, are so uncertain on a given day. So I'm not going to hang my head about it. I know these guys in here want to win. I know they're not doing anything different on my day. And maybe I'll bring popsicles or something for the boys.
Having been in a lot of those scrums, when a player makes a joke, even if it's not that funny, you feel obligated.
Yeah.
He made an attempt. The least I can do is give him a little chuckle.
Better than
here.
The Fortnite joke by Price.
It's the,
I don't think either one's going to be doing
stand-up. It's the stand-up comedian theory, where you're sitting in a stand-up comedian's audience, you laugh at his jokes more than if you're watching the same routine at home. It's just the atmosphere of the room and everything else.
Unless you're Michelle Wolf, then nobody's laughing.
Nobody's laughing, depending on the crowd. Depending on the crowd.
Everyone is laughing at home. It's the opposite.
The easiest crowd is the best man maid of honor speech. That is the easiest crowd in the history of crowds.
No, I was awesome at that. What are you talking about?
No, you were great. You were great. And everybody told you were great afterwards.
They did.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
did.
Yeah, same with me. That's how it goes. But then everybody's just, first of all, everybody's hammered drunk. Then you go up there and you're like, I know a story about the groom. And they're like, yeah, tell the story. It's just the easiest crowd.
Sound
ever.
Like you've done
it
this
a
couple
great
of
story.
Times.
No, one time. What if it was a great story?
It wasn't.
And it was legitimately funny on its own merits.
It was exaggerated.
I had props for mine, actually.
Oh, was nice. It a,
it's like a carrot top routine? Yeah.
Carrots. Did you like smash Gallagher watermelons and stuff?
It was good. It was. I hooked it up. It
did you bench press for like an hour first just to get the real carrot top look?
I was bench pressing alcohol to get my confidence.
There you go. Yeah, that's very important.
You know what the hard crowd is? When you're performing a wedding.
Oh,
that is
yeah,
not
they don't
an
know
easy
you.
Crowd.
Yeah. Who's this guy?
Because they don't want jokes.
You get the cat under your arm and he's scratching the bride.
is that what you call it, Jason? Do you call it performing a wedding?
Yeah.
So you're not officiating.
No,
what
I'm officiating.
Mean?
No, I put on a performance.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
What are you, a song and dance man?
Well, it's what they want. It's
do you
what
do like
wants.
When I'm 64, like that kind of thing?
Do you go top, no, do you go really top hat and tails?
I do not.
I feel like that'd be a pretty good look, though.
If the bride said you wanted me in that?
Yeah,
sure.
So you said perform instead of officiate. Why was that? Because you view it as a performance. It's not just
performance art.
Yeah, you're doing a little bit more than just reading off. Like, I'm not reading off a piece of paper.
Yeah.
No, it's all to memory.
Well, there's a little bit of memory. There's a little bit of show. There's a little bit of
wrote some of it on your hand.
I got an iPad.
A little bit of improv.
Absolutely.
It's like someone bumps into it. Excuse me. And then they do it again. Excuse me. Now, hold on. Wait a minute.
I'm not bumping into him.
It's just like that.
Identical.
Yeah.
So I know the NBA draft is coming up tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
NHL draft is coming up Friday or Saturday. I forget which. Mm-hmm. But the NHL awards are tonight in Las Vegas. You have two Bruins who are nominated. One won't win. Worthy finalist. Bruce Cassidy, one of the three finalists for the Jack Adams Award Coach of the Year. Sorry, I think Gerard Gallant of the Vegas Golden Knights. They've already engraved the trophy with his name on it and should. I got no issues with that. The other one is Patrice Bergeron, who is nominated for the Selke Trophy. And as Bruce Cassidy has pointed out, that used to be for best defensive forward. It has kind of morphed now. It has now become the award for best two-way hockey player. So not only do you have to be good at your own end of the ice, but you got to be able to put up some points, which is why Cassidy thinks it is entirely possible that Patrice Bergeron is going to win his fifth tonight. If he does, he'll be the only player in NHL history with five Selke Trophy Awards. Bob Gainey has four. Bergeron has four. And I think he clinches a spot in the Hall of Fame if he wins tonight.
It's weird.
You're good. You don't really think.
No.
Other than Chara, for this run that the Bruins have
and
had.
And Chara will be in the Hall of Fame as well.
No, right, no, he should be, but that's what I'm saying. You don't think of anyone beyond him as automatic.
But I think once you include, you know, you think about Bergeron and all the, you know, Team Canada, Olympic teams and World Cup teams that he's been on, he won a cup. And then if you keep putting up, you know, you keep winning this award year after year and also combining, you know, the offense that he has, then yeah. And I mean, he's got more time.
Yeah, he's
too.
Not. It's not like
yeah,
he's done.
He, 32.
Yeah, you think he's 32? He's been in the league forever, but it doesn't look like
he came
he's
in as
down.
An 18-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
And look, I was one of those people who thought, you know, really, really good player. I'm not sure he's ever going to be in the Hall of Fame.
He looks like he is now.
But you know what? If he does win this thing tonight, good competition tonight. But if he does win and becomes the first player in league history to win five of them, I think he's in the Hall of Fame.
Because a couple of years ago, the conversation started with him getting his jersey number retired in the Garden.
That's not even a question.
Now it's not at all. But I'm saying a couple of years ago is when that sort of started. And now you're like, okay, not only is he one of the best Bruins of all time, like, does he belong in the Hockey Hall of Fame? And I think the answer is definitely yes. I think even if he doesn't win, I mean, I think that kind of solidifies it.
Because,
and it gives
by the
him
way,
more
he might win
else.
Another one next year year or whatever.
But he's already a finalist. So he's already, you know, top three. And then if he puts together a few more seasons like this, which the way things are going, you would almost pencil that in, then, yeah, they might rename the Selke Award. It might be the Bergeron Award in a few years.
He debuted before the Red Sox won the World Series.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And he's in his early 30s.
Yeah, he's 32.
That makes sense. Like, what?
Rookie in 2003.
Yeah.
He's got a real good chance to win tonight. Some of that is, you know, once you're in that category, once you're a Selke Trophy winner, you know, it's easy to vote for you again.
Yeah.
But he also, you know, had the numbers to back it up again.
He does. And he's back to being, you know, two of the last 3 years, he's back to being a 30-goal scorer, too. Mm-hmm. So he's not just, you know, one of the best face-off guys and one of the best defensive forwards, but he's giving you 30 goals, and he was on the best line in hockey last year. So if you know,
and he's a big part of why it's the best line in hockey.
Exactly. So I mean, this guy looks like he's got himself a Hall of Fame career.
A side note to the Bruins: the teams all announced their home openers today, and the rest of the schedule gets released tomorrow. I've seen some places where people have apparently come up with it and released it, but the one we know about is the home opener, and it's weird. Really weird. The Bruins will open at home their regular season schedule on a Monday afternoon at 1:00.
That is weird.
They play Columbus. Like they play Columbus Day.
Oh, okay.
Their home opener. They start on the road. They will be the opposition for the Capitals when they raise the Stanley Cup banner.
Ah.
The next night they play in Buffalo against the Sabres, and then Columbus Day, Monday, September 8th. They are at home for a 1:00 game. I mean, that's just strange to me that your very first hockey game of the season is a Monday at 1:00. A holiday which, you know, not everybody has off. Some people have it off. Some people don't. Some people work. And you're going to, I guess, try to put a crowd in there for the home opener?
That's odd.
That's a strange one.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard of that. Well, first of all, that any team is opened at 1:00 in the afternoon. I don't think the Bruins have ever opened on a Monday afternoon
like
at one.
It's like a baseball. That's a baseball feel.
Yeah, like opening day. Yeah. Let's get everybody watching, get all the kids watching. And so apparently that's what they're doing now. I don't get it.
Strange look for the whole thing. By the way, the hockey fans in Washington are mad that the Bruins are the opener for the night they raised the banner. They wanted it to be the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah. Should have been
rub
Pittsburgh.
It in. They wanted to rub. Hey, Sydney!
It should have been Pittsburgh.
See this?
After all that, they probably opened up in Pittsburgh a bunch of times.
Do you think Crosby would tip his cap, Mo Rivera style?
He would not. He would not be out there probably on the ice until game time. He would stay in the locker room. He wouldn't want to hear the boos.
Everybody's out when they raise it and all that stuff. But it'll be the Bruins who will be in our nation's capital.
Yeah, I don't like it.
So they'll be the home opener for the Caps, the home opener for the Sabres. And then they come home for a Monday at 1:00 home game, which...
And will Ilya Kovalchuk be on the team?
I think there's a better shot today than I did yesterday.
All right.
I wondered about it. You point out, hasn't played in the NHL for 5 years. That seems a little long to me. But
it
then
is.
I heard Bruce Cassidy. Now, first of all, Don Sweeney's interest is very real. I knew that. And then I heard some comments that Cassidy made yesterday about Kovalchuk, and he didn't poo-poo it at all. He didn't shy away from it at all. Yeah, that would be an interesting a move for our team.
Is Backus still on the team, or do they find a
There are multiple reports out there that they are interested in moving away from that contract. He's got like 4 years
who's
left.
Who's interested in taking all
that? No, that part, they'll have to eat part of it.
Oh, okay.
They'll have to withhold some salary.
He wasn't bad last year, though.
And when you consider what he went through,
yeah.
I think that he's got 31 goals over two seasons here. That's not what they thought they were getting. They knew they were bringing in leadership. They liked that. I don't think they love, you know, the production.
Yeah.
He's got some sort of a no-move clause.
They all do.
Well, the hot rumor here is, would St. Louis want him back? Oh. Captain there for a long time. You know, if the Bruins were able to eat part of the salary, would the St. Louis Blues want to take David Backus back? And then you've got even more money. The salary cap numbers for this upcoming year that Gary Bettman announced today, the Bruins have about $11.9 million to play with. If they moved away from Backus, they'd have, you know, closer to like $18 million to play with. Well, now you can do some stuff.
How much does Kovalchuk eat up of that if they go that route? He's probably $6 million a year, right?
But I think for only a couple of years. Where Rick Nash is going to be like 4 or 5 years.
So Backus has 3 years left, $6 million per. He has a no movement clause, 8-team trade list for 19 and 20. And then for 2021.
This year, I think he's got no move.
Then it's a 15-team trade list after that. And I don't know. It doesn't have the list here in front of me, but I wouldn't be surprised if St. Louis was on that list. It's like, yeah, why not go back? Unless he's still pissed that they didn't offer him enough money.
I think he liked it there. They certainly liked him. I know he was injured and couldn't play when the Bruins went back to play in St. Louis, but he made the trip anyway, you know, went back and got honored by the fans and all that stuff. I don't know that they necessarily would find a taker, but I wouldn't be shocked if they were trying to, just to free up some money and see what they can do. They've gotten Matt Grzelcyk signed to a deal.
That was a good deal, right? It was like a
perfect
two-year guy. $1.2
million a year for a couple of years. That's a good average annual value. I think they still would like to get a left defenseman, although the Carolina Hurricanes reportedly said today they are not interested in dealing Noah Hanifin. Yeah. What they want to do is get him signed to some sort of a long-term deal. I'm sure that's what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Question is whether or not they could do it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.